Yeah. How are you? How you doing? How's your mother? Welcome to the Champ Smokes Face Blunts, episode 17. I'm here reviewing the week in wrestling for you fucking nerds. We are live on YouTube. If anybody wants to let me know how you're feeling, you can say it in the comments. We're going to talk about Raw. We're going to talk about SmackDown. And we're going to talk about this useless pay-per-view this weekend. Right now, we're going to start off with Raw. And everybody always talks shit about Raw, says SmackDown is the better show, Raw sucks, Raw this, Raw that. You cannot deny this week that Raw got better and was a better show all around. And for that, it is getting the bong rip this week. For the entire show of Raw as a whole, getting this bong rip. Putting the blunt down, firing up this fucking bong. Let me put the belt down. Only for a second. Don't get excited. You'll never get this, gypsies. Need a fucking drink. But yeah, Raw as a whole this week, getting the bong rip. It was better. I think it was the better show than SmackDown. It kind of had that old, like, attitude era feel that everybody says that they want, which was, for me, the thing that felt attitude era-esque about it was them going all around the arena and continued storylines throughout the whole thing. But actually cool shit that wasn't really too corny. People were actually getting fucked up. Like, you had Seth Rollins just going around the whole night, just fucking random people up with a chair because he didn't want any guest referee in his match this weekend. So he was walking around, he fucked up Elias. He got Elias, he got Baron Corbin. He got the new Eric Young, which I don't understand what the fuck is going on there. It's just, they went, had him from an actual good gimmick, where it was like kind of dark and it was cool, to now he's just another fucking wrestler guy in tights with no fucking gimmick. How many of those just generic jobbers are you gonna have? I'm not a huge fan of that shit. But anyway, you had Seth Rollins going around fucking him and fucking everybody up with the chair. It continued on to SmackDown the next night. And then another thing. Fuck, where the fuck this slider just go? We good. We good. Another continued thing throughout the whole night. I misspoke. Not a continued thing, but another instance of them going around the whole arena was Roman Reigns. Even though he faked cancer and I don't cheer for him, this week he actually put on a good performance. He was out in the ring. You had Shane O'Mac and Drew McIntyre in the back talking shit on the fucking Jumbotron. Roman goes through the audience, finds them in the back, and I'm not even sure the type of slam this was. It wasn't like a choke slam. He just kind of grabbed Drew McIntyre by the legs and lifted him up and put him through the table. But he actually got him pretty high in the air. I think they were trying to make up for the Goldberg and Undertaker fucking choke slam that his feet didn't even get off the fucking ground. Fuck, I need a fucking lighter. Where'd that shit go? I don't know, man. Oh, here it is. Shine up a bit. Where'd it go? Oh, shit. There you go. But yeah. So, you got Roman Reigns, goes in the back, slams him through the fucking table, fucks up Shane McMahon, they go out. I believe that was the closing segment on Raw. Then Drew McIntyre helped Shane and was like, yeah, we're gonna get him this weekend. So, just the change of scenery. I have ADD. I can't watch the same shit for a long time. Just guys in a ring doing the same fucking shit over and over again. The change of scenery really helps my ADD and helps me continue watching and continue to be entertained. So when you continually cut to Seth Rollins in a different place, hitting someone with a chair, and then you got Roman going in the back into the VIP room or whatever they called it, it's just cool and a little change of, you know, a little change of scenery. It's fucking nice. So there were those two things. And then you had you had Ricochet. Ricochet and Samoa Joe. And it was a good segment on Raw. I actually didn't even watch the full Raw. I watched the little clips online. So they had the little clip of Ricochet on WWE. It was a different clip than it's been going around everywhere else. I'm not even gonna talk about it. It's a invasion of privacy, and feel bad for Ricochet. I just hope he washes his hands of the whole situation, really. It just continues to go forward and get this this push that he's been getting. So he had this feud with Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe's been talking shit. Ricochet's been talking shit. And they're going to have a match this Sunday at Stomping Grounds. And it's actually nice to see Ricochet get a push on his own, apart from Aleister Black, because I was hating when they came together as a tag team. Now they split them up. They're both getting their own thing. I'll talk about Aleister Black when we get to SmackDown. That's a whole fucking separate thing. But then the final thing on Raw this week that I'm going to talk about is the most entertaining thing in the WWE, hands down, Bray Wyatt. Anybody who's hating on this is a closed-minded bitch and does not understand wrestling or entertainment. The whole Firefly Funhouse gimmick with Bray. Like, kind of like how I was speaking earlier about changes of scenery and switching things up. Talk about fucking switching things up. You got the show, like, pretty much, you know, whether it's in the back or it's in the fucking ring or wherever they are, it's all kind of like, it's either red if it's on Raw, blue if it's on SmackDown, kind of dark colors, you know. And then you cut to this Bray Wyatt thing that's just like a fucking Pee-wee's Playhouse Blues Clues type thing. It's just a complete change of scenery. It's fucking nice. And the whole character development, he wrote the whole thing himself for the most part from everything I've been seeing. And this week he touched on fucking conspiracies, talked about Flat Earth, talked about dinosaurs not actually being extinct. And in all of these things, he's had kind of a callback to something that's happened previously in his career. And this week, he said like, some ideas are full of worms. And it cut to like the fucking worms all over the screen, which was the same graphic it had in that horrible WrestleMania match against, I believe it was Randy Orton, which was a huge letdown. And he was like, some ideas are full of worms. So he was kind of, you know, shitting on a previous thing, kind of like how before he was shitting on his previous gimmick, a Husky Harris, and him being fat, and then him getting in shape. This finished with weird kind of cut of the Muscle Man dance song, and then his character, which is called the Fiend with the mask, which is actually pretty scary. I gotta say, it's definitely the scariest wrestling mask in recent history. That's on his face. He's there, and then it kind of like cuts away. There were rumors this week that he was going to be live on TV. I was really expecting him to be there live on Raw. When he faded away, I was like, maybe he's going to show up in the main event. But he didn't show up in the main event. I can only think that he's going to be there next week on Raw. So I'm really looking forward to that because the whole thing's been good. But like I said last week, it all depends on how it plays out when he actually gets in the ring and we see what the gimmick actually looks like in person, if his wrestling's changed and all that shit. So looking forward to that next week on Raw. And yeah, that's pretty much everything on Raw this week. So yeah, wrapping that shit up. I just want to say there's a lot of fake weed events out there, a lot of garbage so-called cannabis events, but here at Talking Seaweed, we throw real ones, and why don't you check out some footage from one? About that. 2005, I was busting that track, trying to get that bag. Got a spot jumping, if you really know me, know I'm not fronting. Cold D, then you lying for me. More time, then he slide it for me. Bad bitch, she gon' ride it for me. When she try to cuddle, tell her time is money. Sorry, ho, but I gotta go. No, I blow.
No, I've never been on a blind date.
Yeah. I'm glad for episode one, you know, like, blind date, for it to be me, you know. I'm always stoned.
I'm like, yeah, I don't know. We're like a couple of hundred milligrams deep now. I'm like, I don't even really know what.
I mean, I've never gotten stoned before on a date.
I feel like I'm almost there, but not to like. I am almost there, but not.
Welcome back, you fucking nerds. Alright, now we're going to talk about SmackDown, which for the first time in a while actually was not better than Raw. Raw was definitely better this week. SmackDown started out with Dolph Ziggler and his little feud with Kofi Kingston in the New Day. I actually really like heel Dolph Ziggler. When he first turned as a heel, I didn't really like it, but after he went away and he came back now, it feels like he's kind of like refined the gimmick and it's a little bit more dialed in now. And I definitely like the whole character. When he was sitting there at the fucking top of the ramp with his hand wrapped, with his fucking, you know, the white tape on his hands and shit, whining about how it should have been him who got a belt and blah, blah, blah. It kind of reminded me of CM Punk just looking at him fucking standing there with his hand wraps whining like a bitch at the top of the ramp. Classic CM Punk move. That's what everybody remembers when they think of CM Punk. And the visual was definitely kind of similar on that. So I definitely like the heel Adolf Ziggler. And yeah, second thing I want to talk about on SmackDown is there's been a whole lot of talk about wrestling and the trans community and trannies and Pride Month and this and that. And WWE was really showing support for that this week, because in order to capture the 24/7 belt, what's his name? Fucking Drake Maverick or whatever his fucking name is, had to dress up like a woman. He dressed up like Carmella from Worcester and fucking got the belt. He was out there wearing fucking yoga pants and a wig. And it seems to be the popular thing to do in wrestling nowadays. If you want to make it, you want a wrestling contract, you know, just go get yourself a wig, get yourself some women's clothes, say you want to be identified as a women's champion, and boom, it's fucking yours. So yeah, that's basically what Drake Maverick did. He got the belt from whatever his name is, fucking Ron Killings. And then Aleister Black, that's the third thing I want to talk about. You know what? I'm actually putting the blunt out for this, but this blunt, like, doesn't have enough left. I feel like it won't get the full effect if I put out that blunt. So I'm actually going to spark a new blunt if I can find my fucking lighter. Which, here it is. It's just a really a fucking continuing challenge, me and these fucking lighters. But I'm going to spark this new blunt. May I remind you that there's a drought right now and nobody can get weed and all you peasants are fucking scrambling around figuring out where you're going to get weed. I'm about to spark this nice fresh blunt. Take a couple puffs, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna fucking take this blunt. it nice and wet. There's no way anybody's smoking that. There you go. So, Aleister Black. Him and Ricochet came out as a tag team. I was bitching that it was a paced together tag team and they should fucking split them up and make them two different, you know, wrestlers on their own and let them shine on their own. So they did that. Now they have Ricochet, who seems to be getting a push against Samoa Joe. And then you got Aleister Black, who, see, I think this new thing, it's based, honestly, like I said before, I have ADD and I can't watch the same shit for too long. I get fucking bored. And now you got Aleister Black, and his whole thing is basically just him sitting in a dark room. It's some emo shit, it looks like. Just him, like, whining about his feelings, just sitting there in a dark room. And it's just kind of boring. And the thing about this, the main reason why I think this isn't going to work is because if it was just on its own right now, then you would be like, oh, you know, I can't wait to see when Aleister Black comes back and what this new thing is. But when you have this at the same time as Bray Wyatt, who you cut to his little cutscene, and it's just fucking wild, like all these fucking colors, him fucking smashing shit with a hammer, him with a fucking chainsaw, all this shit, and then you cut to this dude just in a dark room whining about his feelings. It's just not going to be nearly as entertaining, and you're not going to be as nearly as excited about it. So I think Aleister Black isn't really getting a fair shake. I think they should kind of give him some fireworks in the background or some fucking demons or some type of shit to get you more excited about him rather than just him in a dark room bitching about his feelings. So that's why I think the whole Aleister Black thing isn't really working to its full potential. And then the final thing on SmackDown I want to talk about is this whole Shane O'Mac thing. So, there's been talks around, I need to fucking spark up this blunt. There's fucking been talks around that the wrestlers in the back aren't happy with how the big of a push that Shane O'Mac is getting. It's taking away spotlight from all the other wrestlers. Like, he's on Raw and he's feuded with Roman Reigns, and then he's on SmackDown and he's feuding with Miz, which has been going on since before Mania. So he's taken up main slots and a bunch of time on both shows. Rumor is he's gonna get a fucking, like, one of the big belts, the fucking WWE Championship or whatever the fuck it's called nowadays. And nobody's fucking happy about it. I think it all depends on how they finish the storyline. Like, what is the end payoff that they want from that? Like I said last week, the best possible ways to end this would either be CM Punk come in and be like, I'm actually the best in the world, or have Triple H come in and kick his ass and take over the company. But I have no idea how it's going to play out. I just think it is a little bit confusing how he's feuding with one guy on one show, another guy on the other show. They had this whole wild card rule. Everybody's just showing up wherever they want now on both shows. Like, they fucking said the wild card rule was two or three people or however many guys they fucking said it was. Now every week it's just random people coming being like, well, I can be here because I'm a champion. And even though I'm not a wild card, I came anyway, this and that. They should have just said it doesn't fucking matter and anybody can be anywhere. I can see they wanted to add some form of like spontaneous shit where there's different shit going on throughout the night, which I think they tried to do with the 24/7 belt, which they actually definitely achieved. And now they have it going on with this shit, people just showing up everywhere and Shane McMahon doing this. It all depends on how it plays out. I'm not going to complain about it yet because I want to see how it fucking plays out. So that's fucking that. That's SmackDown. Now I'm going to get into the fucking Stomping Ground picks. That's what's fucking going on. I'm just going to run through these quick. This pay-per-view, oh shit, my blunt just fell out of my fucking mouth. Toss that in there. Do these fucking picks quick. Alright. Fucking Stomping Grounds. Bayley versus Alexa Bliss. No one fucking cares. Becky Lynch versus Lacey Evans. I'll fucking pick Lacey Evans there. Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre, fake cancer always wins. Kofi Kingston versus Adolph Ziggler in a steel cage. I'm actually looking forward to this one. I think Adolph is going to take the W. And WWE Championship match, Seth Rollins versus Baron Corbin. Seth Rollins gets the W. That's that. That's fucking Stomping Grounds. That's Raw. That's SmackDown. I'm going to fire up the magic carpet, and we will see you nerds in a few.
Where did he grow up?
You know what I mean?
Well, allegedly Atlanta, right? We don't, what do we know? We don't know nothing.
Oh, apparently, Liverpool. Dude, it's so funny to me, he's English. What the fuck?
It is funny. Because we, like I said, dude, we like saw him. He was having trouble with his tour bus, trying to just, you know how like the what do they call it? You know, you store all your shit under the bus. Yeah. The thing slides up the door. And he couldn't get it down.
Like the
door to the under the goes, yeah. Under the bus.
I don't know what the fuck it is. That's two idiots trying to tell you what it is. We're both I jumped in.
Didn't know what the fuck it was.
Still didn't know. And I was super confident.
I'm like,
I had
dude
that.
Needs help. You know what I mean? We walked by him. I seen him. We're like, that is 21 Savage. We're like, so what? Like, you know, I'm not gonna not gonna go harass him. You know, he's by himself. He's whatever. Mm-hmm. We come back. He's still struggling with the thing.
He was really struggling.
He just looked at us like, and I describe it like almost like he thought we were ice or something. He just looked at us like, why are these white dudes creeping up on me like out the woods? You know what I mean? Like, it's the summertime, we're in like gym shorts and fucking.
I had a cane and like a hat like Sherlock Holmes, and I was like, cheerio, mate. And he was like, fuck, I gotta get out of here.
No, but so I literally just fucking.
I had an eyepiece. Monocle.
Oh my god.
Could you use
a
hand?
God. Yeah, so he did, like, I don't know, maybe, I thought he was just, you know, like, sketchy or weird people he didn't know, you know what I mean? My buddy drives the tour buses for a living and shit, and he was like, oh, like, just go over there, you'll be able to get in, no problem, you know what I mean? So, we were just looking for a place to sneak in, honestly, we were smoking some weed, went for a walk, and we were like, all right, let's go down here, scope this out, it was before the show started. And just seeing him outside his bus, and
oh, that's crazy.
You know, and he was like getting something out of his bag. You know, what I mean, he went downstairs. Yeah, we got a picture.
Oh, he got a picture.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. So after I hooked him up, I was like, this is the funny part though. We hooked him up. Like I was like, dude, there's just a latch right here. You know, he's yanking on the thing. It's not coming down. Just a latch. It slides right down. You know, very easily. And then I'm like, let's grab a flick. And like I turn around, I take like a selfie with him in the background. You know what I mean? And like I turn around to basically be like, all right, peace. You know? And he's like, he's gone. You know what I mean? He was ghost.
He was literally like, it was like a smoke bomb. And then we couldn't see anything. And then he was just gone.
Felt like he just disappeared.
Welcome back, and welcome to my magic carpet. Today, on the magic carpet, I'm going to talk about how I'm a better heel than all of you, and I have the most heat more than anybody, and I'm better than all of you wrestlers. None of you wrestlers know how to talk anymore. None of you wrestlers have a sense of humor. None of you wrestlers know how to cut a promo, and none of you wrestling fans even know how to be wrestling fans anymore. The game is all fucked up. Nobody knows anything anymore. I'm here to explain it for all of you. Thankfully, without me, you would just be completely fucked. So wrestling is supposed to be fun, and it's supposed to be a good time, you know? You're supposed to enjoy it, you're supposed to watch it, and you're supposed to be entertained. You're not supposed to watch it and then think that you fucking know everything about it. It's basically the same thing everywhere. Velveteen Dream actually touched on this recently. He had a whole thing online basically telling people that George Lucas directed Star Wars and Vince McMahon directs WWE. It's up to wrestlers to get their gimmick over. If they can't get their gimmick over, it's their own fault. And this is all completely true. The only thing he's not true on is he thinks that people like criticize WWE more than they criticize movies and shit nowadays. That's kind of what I got from it, and that's not true. Because if you go on Twitter, everybody thinks that they know fucking everything, that they know how every fucking show should end. Nobody's ever happy with any fucking show nowadays, besides my show. People are extremely happy with my show. If you look at the comments, everybody's very happy. All thumbs up, yay, go champ, go. Everybody fucking loves me. But most shows nowadays, majority of shows, the shows on like other inferior networks like HBO and Showtime and shit like that, they all... Nobody's ever happy with them. They throw all these money into these fucking shows, and everybody just goes on there. All the writers are people in Hollywood who don't fucking know anything, and they're just trying to make the most fucking money. The show isn't necessarily as good as it could be a lot of the time. But everybody thinks that they're the fucking writer, and they're fucking not. They just need to be happy with the fucking show that they get. If they're not happy with it, go make a fucking show. You know what I mean? And everybody just thinks they are a critic nowadays, so it isn't fair to say that WWE gets it more than anybody else. But nobody knows how to be fans nowadays. Nobody has a fucking sense of humor. I have a fucking sense of humor, clearly. And I fucking watch WWE, and sometimes it's not as entertaining as it could be because it's not as fucking funny as it could be. But I like the funny shit. And nobody can take a fucking joke anymore. Everybody watches it like it's a fucking, some fucking serious thing. It's fucking fake fighting. If you want to watch something serious, why don't you go watch boxing or UFC or something where people are actually going to get knocked the fuck out and they're actually fighting for their fucking life. And in these cases, it's just people doing fucking flips and taking fake punches. Like, why are you taking it so seriously? It's fucking fake fighting. They can't take a fucking joke. I'm out here just making jokes, spreading the fucking truth, using my amendment right of free speech, and you all can't fucking take it. People say that when you have a blue check mark on Twitter, which I should have, I don't know why I don't have Twitter, you really need to fucking get on it. But apparently when you have a blue check mark on Twitter, you see like different shit. I see different shit when I go on Twitter because I can't fucking see anything because like, at least, like, it feels like at least, like, 50 to 60% of the wrestling community has me blocked. Anytime someone shares a tweet, it says you can't see this because they've blocked you. Why is everybody blocking me? They don't want to have fun. They don't want to have a fucking good time. I have people trying to set me up because I don't want to go to a fucking shitty event. If you want to get me to go to your shitty event, you can holler and send some fucking money and pay and we'll go there and have a good time, get some content. It'll be a fucking awesome time. But instead of paying, you guys just want to fight the champ? I'm just out here trying to have a good time. Why are you guys in such a bad mood? I don't understand it. But anyways, I'm having a blast. I'm the fucking champ. I understand that wrestling is a good time and, you know, you guys just really need to understand that. So go fuck yourself. That's that. I'll see you nerds next week. See you fucking later.